is yours, the world is yours.
Welcome to Rex's World. I am Rex. This is my world, but as always, the world is yours. I'm here with co-host filling in for us. Ryan Black is here, host of Talking Sports from the Couve. How you doing, Brian?
I'm doing great. Always here to be standing in the on-deck circle for you, my friend.
Always, always. As a baseball fan, he's always dying to hit a home run. But the big thing is, we've got a guest here today, guys. Last time it was just me and Ryan. I don't know if you guys necessarily enjoyed that, but you have to enjoy our guest here, Adam Posse, former Portland's funniest person, probably still Portland's funniest person, in my opinion. How you doing?
I'm good. That depends on the day in regards to what you just said.
Not everybody hits 1,000 every day.
That's a hat that can get passed around the town real easy.
So. Okay. Yeah, that's fair enough.
Thanks for having me, though.
Of course. I've wanted you on this show since day one.
Yeah, we've been canceling and rescheduling and canceling and rescheduling.
It's purely because I've got such a great connection with you, and we've been friends for since I met you, basically, and the connection with your brother, playing football with your brother and stuff, kind of started it all. But working at Helium and seeing you host multiple shows, seeing you have to host the open mic, which isn't always easy, just watching you grind and stuff, I've become more than just a friend, but also a fan. So it's a really big deal for me to have you here. I really appreciate it.
No, thanks, man. As a comic and a friend, thank you.
So do you have any shows going on right now? You just wrapped up one recently, right?
Yeah, I'm not producing anything at the moment.
Okay.
I was part of a long running show at Mississippi Pizza, and that just died. So, yeah, R.I.P. R.I.P. Doe. We had a good run. We kept comedy alive in that room for pretty much a decade.
Oh, of course. Shout out to Sam. Shout out to Lance.
No
shout out to Lance?
Oh, Lance stole money from the show and got fired last year.
Oh, what?
Yeah. Oh, I am happy to say that on the airwaves.
Shout out.
No shame at all.
Shout out to Sam and shout out to Ryan.
Shout out to Sam and shout out to Young Zachary.
Young Zachary. Zachary, yes. We had him on the show, actually.
Oh, Zach's great. He's so obstinate. I've often described him as he looks like a baby that just ate a lemon for the first time.
I once called him Portland's Timothy Chalamet.
Yeah, I've also called him They Neutron. I don't know if this works without knowing what Zach looks like, but I feel like these jokes kind of hit. I feel like low-T Rachel Maddow.
They need to give you a gallery on the website.
This is actually great because you can sit here and roast Zach, because we had Zach and Elijah on. We were supposed to have all three Dirtbox boys, but Matt Franco couldn't make it. So they spent the entire show just roasting Matt. So this is kind of payback for Zach.
They call themselves the Dirtbox boys?
They do. That's their podcast, the Dirtbox podcast.
I didn't even know that existed. That hurts. No one's invited me on that podcast. What?
I don't think they do guests, but...
I guess they're not friends who've played football with my brother.
Oh, yep. That's exactly... I think that's the end.
I gotta have my brother hit those guys up, see if they want to toss the pigskin around, see if they can get me on the podcast somehow.
Could you imagine Elijah wearing football pads?
Elijah doesn't make the least sense, but the other two, that'd be tough. That'd be a stretch.
Franco would be hilarious on a football field.
Right. Matt would be like the kid that's friends with everybody that they talked into playing senior year.
Matt's so emo, he wouldn't be in the emotional shape to hit somebody.
No. Like, it's... No. He might enjoy getting hit, actually.
Yeah. Yeah, he'd just be standing there slumped, like, I deserve this, and just letting him bow. Yeah. Also, this is big talk from someone who was second string when I played football in high school, so maybe I can relax a little bit as well. Maybe I'm also hard to picture on a football field. Easy to picture on the sideline based on my high school football career.
They had you on the team to scare the other team when they got there.
You know what it was? I have no game IQ. I'd always do great in the opening, like, camps where they're like, oh, this guy's fast and strong. And then they put me on the field and I'm just lost.
You keep jumping off sides.
I don't even know where I am. I don't know what the hell I'm supposed to do when they yell strong left. I don't know what's going on. Like,
maybe that's part of the reason I also never played football.
Which is kind of more insulting. I'd rather be weak and intelligent than just gorgeous and dumb. But that's my cross to bear.
It happens to the best of us. I can relate. The only one in here that can't relate is producer Jono.
Yeah, probably.
He wouldn't be able to run the show if he was beautiful, though.
Everyone serves a purpose one way or another.
It's all part of the skill set. It's okay.
There we go. He knows it. He embraces it.
So humble. So humble.
We've all got jobs to do.
He's going to remix this and make us all look racist. That's why. That's why. He's like, oh, I'm ugly? All right. I'll show you what an editing bay and some AI can do.
Watch this.
Yeah, I'm being really mean to the guy that has control of the final cut.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah.
Dangerous game you're playing there, Rex.
He doesn't even have to do anything. He'd like just slip in commercials for some problematic places during the commercial break and say that I'm endorsing it or
he's
something.
He's going to use our voice samples to turn us into, what was it, MAGA neckbeard rappers.
Oh, like, God.
Oh, man. Is neckbeard two words?
Depends on the neck and or the beard.
There's no gap that it is not.
Shout out to producer John. Keep it
everything.
Our
best friend, producer John. Actually, yes. Quite handsome now that we're on the subject.
Yes, he does. He looks great in glasses. He's a great guy.
Does everyone out there hear that?
Oh, my goodness. Doe was a lot of fun. You guys had a DJ there, didn't you?
We kept a person in the sound booth. That was from my first time in the show. So at the start, that show was initially started by, wow, this is real three touchdowns in one game at Polk High talk, isn't it? This show that used to exist that I was a major part of. I came into that show after it was started by Arlo Weyerhaeuser and Enrico Ott and Matt Monroe, who was new in town at the time. And then eventually they all kind of went and did their own things. And little by little, first they brought on me and someone else, then Shane joined the show. And that's when the show's identity kind of changed. We put a person in the sound booth. We integrated a lot of rap music to the show. Just like not even really part of like the comedy that's being done, but the vibe.
Right.
The vibe. It was a very hip-hop centered vibe and kind of turned it into a bit of a party. It was a hang for the comics in the back, and it was like a fun party environment for the crowd in the front. And
a lot of the Portlanders in the crowd were very uncomfortable at first.
It happened. It for sure happened. But we weeded them out eventually. And then, and it kind of passed around. I rejoined the show twice.
Really?
Yeah, I left initially just because I thought it was time to move on to something else. And then I just felt right to come back, and then I left again for the same reason. And then Sam was about to have his baby, and so I was supposed to take care of Sam's paternity leave, and then coming back and doing it just got really fun again. I was like, I think I want to hang out and do this. And then I ran it into the ground. R.I.P. No, what really happened is the venue changed our time slot. So we were in 8 p.m. It was even more frustrating. So one of the reasons I came back is that the show was kind of sloppily run. It wasn't Lance. Lance was a massive problem with the show. And so I kind of whipped the show into shape, made the show start more on time. And it took us months to train our audience to get there before 8:30. Because our time slot was 8:30, and then the venue wanted to have a trivia night before us. Okay. And so we got bumped back to 9, and little by little, our numbers dwindled. Because it's a long show, and it's 9 p.m. on a Wednesday, dude. And so, and then we just we tried switching to a monthly on Thursdays, and then after trying, starting February this year, we did a couple of shows. We've done 5 shows. 3 good, 2 decent, none great as far as attendance wise. Okay. Yeah. And so a couple weeks ago I got an email from the venue saying that they were ready to quit the show, and it's fair. We weren't getting enough numbers to justify it. And everything is finite. Enjoy it for what it is while you can.
Yeah, and like with comedy shows, the later you go,
Never eat pizza at Mississippi Pizza ever again. No, I'm just playing. That was a solid pizza. Shout out to Mario behind the pizza counter. Always and Rachel and Ray always took amazing care of us. The staff there.
Ryan, you're the pizza guy. Have you had Mississippi Pizza?
I don't think I have. No.
Interesting.
It is solid.
Okay.
Yeah, I wouldn't cross the river for it, but if you happen to be
In the area,
you could do a lot worse. Yeah, okay. It's good.
So
it's,
is it more of like a robust sauce or is it more of like a sweet red sauce? A
little bit between, actually. Okay. A little bit between. A little bit between. I wouldn't say there is some sweetness to it, but it's not Prego.
There you go. That's the goal.
Yeah.
It's interesting.
It's not Little Caesars. It's not any of this.
Man, it's one of the worst things is when you like look at a pizza and the cheese is all melted perfectly and you go in for a bite and the sauce is too sweet or there's like no sauce on it. Like, I'm not somebody who needs a ton of sauce, but that right balance of sauce to cheese ratio on a pizza is very important.
No, they had solid sauce. Just good pizza. In fact, when I first started doing the show, I didn't like the pizza, and something happened where they fixed it. So that was great. And also,
the voice of the men. I like that.
Yeah. The beet salad as well.
Okay.
The beet salad.
Don't sleep
strong.
On the beet salad.
Real strong beet salad's real good. You should get excited to take them home every week.
Oh, okay. Very nice.
Yeah, that's right. I do beets, too. What's up? You didn't know you were going to hear veggie talk on this?
Yeah, we could fill a whole segment of Ryan and Adam talking food.
I like healthy things and trash.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
You got to match them both.
Balance. It's all about balance.
Yeah. So I've seen you host a lot of shows. We were talking about Doe. How do you
RIP Doe?
What's your approach to
maybe don't say P Doe in rapid succession?
Oh, got that one, Jono? Got that one marked down? P dash Doe. All right,
handsome Jonathan. Could you make sure that doesn't come across?
Yes, please. But as someone who's asked,
also, it sounds like a question. RIP Doe? No, I hope not, Caleb. That's gonna change. Our friendship.
That would be bad.
That brother you played football with has children, so I don't think you can be around us anymore.
Everything. Ryan's going to be hosting the show from the rest of the night.
Turns out you don't need AI to make us sound terrible. Just throw a proper pause in here.
It's going to be Ryan's world.
Lil Comma does a lot of heavy lifting when it comes to ruining lives.
Brian's gonna be so happy if something happens to me and he has to take over. He misses a show, I get in trouble, and suddenly now he's the main part of the poster. The biggest thing he's complained about since this show started was his place on the poster.
Wait, what? Where was he on the poster?
So it's Rex's world. I'll show you. We'll pull
it up. Is pretty selfish to have. Is he not on the poster at all?
No, he is. He is. But he's the co-host, and it's called Rex's World. So, like, my head is a little bit is bigger than his, and he's included.
That's reasonable. He and I have equal billing.
Right. That's what I'm saying. Exactly. Before he was like
pretty greedy for a guy who doesn't even show up, Brian.
Right.
Pretty greedy.
Exactly. He was complaining that he was too small. He was like smaller than the guest.
Yeah,
I'm like,
Rex's
well, you're not
world,
the guest.
Brian is the moon. I don't understand. That's perfect.
There we go.
That is to scale.
Oh my goodness. Finally, I've got a backer. We actually made.
That's because he's not here. Let me come on again when he's here. I'll betray you so fast, dude.
I love
I'll
this.
Betray you so fast. You don't even know.
You top Billy. Man.
Yeah, the
on,
funny thing
up?
Is the God. So he comes in and like, I'm like, oh, the RIP Doe guy wants to be the main one on the poster? Bad morals and grammar? That's who takes over the poster. No loyalties on a podcast or radio show whatsoever.
That's funny. That's so because last week Ryan and I agreed that if Brian wants a bigger spot on the poster, he's got to start doing bigger spots in his match. So like if we see a moonsault, then it's gonna get a little bit bigger. You know what I mean? If he
does he have like a set finisher?
He does. It's like it's kind of like the Braun Strowman like running power slam.
I love the running power slam.
It's a great move for him too because he's a big bulky guy. He like puts people in the corner and does like this running cannonball like Kevin Owens does.
Yeah.
It's another one.
Personal favorite of mine.
But what's really funny is I'm telling him to do bigger spots, and we've got a really low ceiling in the venue.
So if he tried to do anything crazy off the top rope, he would be through the roof, literally.
Legs are dangling.
That could make for some cool stuff, though. Like, you bounce a guy off the ceiling into a cutter. That'd be pretty sick.
There we go. We can book Brian's matches for him.
Again, me talking real big from the sideline over here. Real big. Let's do it. Make it more dangerous. I'll be at home watching on the internet.
Yeah. You can pull the Russo. You can be Vince Russo at Raw on Raw.
We can make this thing blow up.
But you're not part of it.
Let me write about it on my weekly newsletter.
What do you have a set finisher?
I do. So it moves between two. If I'm a good guy, I do the spear. If I'm a bad guy, I do the pounce.
I love a heel versus a face finisher choice.
Right, right.
Because are y'all up on the Kukui Wrestling Nerd Out real
yeah,
quick?
Yeah, absolutely.
Definitely.
Y'all up on the Grande Americano thing?
Yes, this went down. Great match. Of course.
Dude, chills. Chills. Yeah, I was at Mania Live.
Were you really?
Yeah. Watched. I was at both nights. I enjoyed it because I didn't pay for the tickets. If I'd have paid for the tickets,
hell yeah.
If I'd have paid for the tickets, this would have been a trauma dump.
Right. Exactly.
I watched an hour and a half of commercials in the stadium.
Wow.
In stadium commercials.
Just to watch Brock retire.
And then not retire.
Fake retire.
Yeah. Fake retire.
Yeah.
Fake retire.
Yeah. No, yeah. Night one was fine. Again, the whole time it was good because it was free for me. If I'd have bought tickets, I'd be livid. I'm never paying for a TKO event ever again. Ever again. There's no way you're ever going to get your money's worth. And I'm not encouraging people to steal, but I can't see watching a pay-per-view any other way without feeling cheated.
Absolutely.
A lot of AEW taken in ever since that day. But the Americano thing. The finishes. That's like one of my only complaints. Kaiser's DDT.
Yeah.
That's a heel finisher because it's real. I don't know. It's kind of douchey looking.
Right. But he did start out as the heel.
Yeah.
So that was like the original thing he was doing.
That diving headbutt is fun. I love that's finishing a match. Yeah. It's so silly and good.
Without the metal plate in it.
Yeah, yeah.
Because like that whole spot where he was adding the metal plate and then doing the headbutt and stuff like that, like it just adds more because like now he's like, look how good my move is without cheating.
Also, the logic in that always kind of tough for me because I was like, yeah, it's hitting your head too.
That's a good metal point. Plate. That's a good point.
Then again, most headbutt moves are asking that of the audience. Yeah, for you to ignore that it damages somebody else.
Right. Most football players can tell you, you shouldn't headbutt each other very often.
Welcome to CTE.
We're going to have so much more to nerd out about. We'll probably continue this wrestle talk after the break. But until then, we gotta pay the bills or else Jono is going to get me canceled even more. So we're going to send you off to commercial break. This is Rex's World on KXRW, Independent Radio Vancouver, 99.9.
Every day. Every night.
KXRW programming like this is made possible with the support of The Columbian. I'm Will Campbell, and since 1920, my family has owned and operated The Columbian and ensured its award-winning news coverage. For the most thorough daily coverage of local news, national news, and local sports, both in print and online, and for subscription information, visit Columbian.com. That's Columbian.com.
KXRW programming is made possible by partners like Buckley & Associates, attorneys at law, helping injured victims seek the justice they deserve for over 40 years. Licensed in Washington State, our diverse team speaks over 7 languages, making your rights more accessible and easier to understand. Learn more at buckleylaw.net. Buckley & Associates, we speak your language.
우리는 여러분의 언어를 구사합니다.
我们说你的语言.
Nosotros hablamos tu idioma.
중도의 nói ngôn ngữ của bạn.
Support for KXRW comes from Kindred Vancouver in downtown Vancouver, Washington. Kindred is a community-focused general store offering bulk refillery options and supplies for sustainable, do-it-yourself living. With a focus on reducing waste and supporting clean, mindful lifestyles, Kindred helps individuals incorporate low-impact choices into daily life. More information is at kindredvancouver.com.
If you're looking for pizza in East Vancouver, consider visiting Giuliano's Pizzeria in the Cascade Park Fisher's Landing neighborhood. For 37 years, Giuliano's has been a choice for Clark County residents. Giuliano's has a casual classic rock atmosphere, open 7 days a week, and they provide table service allowing you to relax and enjoy your meal with family and friends. If you have a large crowd to feed, Giuliano's can deliver six or more extra large pizzas to your office or event. More information can be found at giulianospizza.com.
I need the crib with the fountain and splash. SP, the only flow that you know, with a bounce and a half.
Welcome back to Rex's World. I am Rex. This is my world. Thank you to Ryan. Thank you to Adam. Hey, guys. So we're going to go back to wrestling here. You guys liked the Grande Americano match, right?
It was awesome.
It was amazing, right?
Fabulous. That was the vibes, the crowd.
Yes.
It's everything converged perfectly. I like that it's this stupid, almost offensive thing. It started as this dumb, almost offensive thing.
Right.
And then just by Kaiser, who I've always been a big fan of, never envisioned liking him as a face, which is crazy. Right. Turns out you throw a mask on the guy, switch up the language a little bit. He's an amazing face. Yeah. I love his catchphrase. A Mexican can be born wherever the hell he pleases. And it's kind of beautiful.
It is.
It's really beautiful, actually. The way like he embraced it and they embraced him. And it's real lovely. And we'll just ignore the fact that it's also probably WWE's looking to get an in on monopolizing that part of the world, kind of how they ruined the British independence scene a couple years ago.
I don't know if you guys saw who produced the match, but it was actually Pete Dunne that produced the match and put the match together.
Also yes. Checks out.
Yes.
A lot of there's a lot of, like, WWE guys you wouldn't expect with, like, hands involved in AAA. Like, JBL would not be somebody I would think of having a big involvement in AAA, but he's more than just announcing. He's helping write matches. He's helping produce. He's doing different things like that.
I could do with less JBL on the mic.
I think he does a good job being a heel commentator. But I still like him more just as a wrestler, and I wish that was the last memory I had of him.
I really did love him as a wrestler.
He was a great heel. The JBL character was one of my favorite bad guys to hate.
Yes, he is so hateable because he is a hated human in real life.
Yes,
that's
exactly.
Part of the reason I'm just like, I'm over it. I've been there. I've seen everything from JBL after hearing the stories of how poorly he treated wrestlers on
he's a bully
overseas tours. That kind of ruined the whole JBL thing for me.
Also, it harkens back to a time when Fox News would fire someone for being too racist.
Oh yeah. Oh man.
Because he got fired because of one of his Eddie promos.
That's good.
Because this whole, you know, he was playing the racist heel. Wink. Playing and then he cut a anti-immigrant promo. And he got fired from Fox News because the promo was so good, because he was an amazing wrestler in a promo. And
fired him for that reason.
And now that could be his audition tape for Fox News.
They would welcome with open arms.
Yeah, yeah. If anything, they'll be like, this guy's going a little soft on the immigrants with this one.
If anything, he'd be part of the cabinet at this point. If Linda McMahon can get a job there, JBL's definitely getting a job.
It's like, we're going to stop pulling them into vans, John. Let's turn up the heat a little bit.
I
shout out to Ice. I hope you all melt into your own graves.
Big time. There's a Scary Movie was going after Ice in their most recent release. It sounds like they're not actually doing that well.
Scary Movie?
Yeah, the newest Scary Movie. Did you expect the new one to bomb?
I've never been a Scary Movie guy.
Never?
Yeah.
Interesting. Yeah. Like, they were popular to watch, so like everybody was referencing them and stuff like that. So I would watch them so that I knew the references and stuff. And some of it did make me laugh, but a lot of it was like I never understood the crude humor.
I don't know. It was also like kind of right as I was getting out of my like American Pie phase.
Because
I was in high school for all that stuff. So it's kind of like I was over that type of humor.
Yeah.
For like, the time being. Now we're right back in it, by the way.
We're back, baby.
I've been watching Ted all week long.
Hell yeah. And like being around high schoolers and like working at a high school, being an assistant teacher and stuff,
These kids need these things because they don't laugh at anything. They think there are so many things that they think are funny, and it's like a really goofy, like loud noise or something, or the reference 6-7. That stuff's hilarious to them. Yeah. But you make some sort of like a timely joke or like a reference that's going on right now, they're gonna be like, oh my God, why'd you say that? Why are you bringing that up?
So here's what the main issue is. You're old.
Also true. Yeah. Also true.
We're old now. We're old. Yeah. So it's not that the kids don't know what's funny. The kids decide what's funny, yeah. And it's not us anymore.
Yeah. Oh, it's an unfortunate truth.
We had our time in the sun.
It's an unfortunate truth. Yeah,
that's the reality of that situation. Yeah.
I think this is payback for being a part of the generation that decided Mencia was funny for however long.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? They're mad at us.
I just realized this like 10 years ago. So I'm real snooty about my hip hop sometimes. And I'd be real old man rap. When mumble rap was coming, I was all folded arms. And this isn't, blah, blah. I'm like, how is it you decide? Half Samoan white guy who grew up in suburbs and army bases. How do you proclaim what is and is not real hip hop? And I was like, you know what I think happened? You're old.
Right. And then on top of that, the rappers we really like turned out to not be great people.
There's that too.
Yes. We put our money on the worst people. They were like, you spent all that time making fun of Michael Jackson, but you listened to P. Diddy. It's not good. Not good.
Never support your heroes. That's the lesson there.
Absolutely. I have to like watch what kind of group I'm in to be able to like listen to like classic Kanye songs that I love still.
Oh yeah, I still do Kanye up until I do Kanye through Kids See Ghosts, and yes. That's where I get off.
Yep, me too.
That's where I'm out. There's a couple songs on Donda that I'll cheat in there. Jail is really good, but for the most part, honestly, if he made an album as good as one of his first five, I'd listen to it again.
Yeah, I think there's enough time has passed, and honestly,
no,
like,
not that. That's just I'm a piece of trash. That's what I'm saying. No.
I'm justifying it. Again, you're just like, he's trash.
I'm not pointing the finger anywhere but towards me. No. Kanye's garbage. Kanye's a garbage dude. It's not that he's crazy. There's plenty of people as crazy as him that don't act like that.
He's
a junk human being. Kind of always has been. If you really examine his behavior over time. He was talented enough to get away with it, which is often the case. And that's why when the albums fell off, when the crazy started outmatching the albums, that's when everyone was like, including myself, was like, well, this is unacceptable.
The crazy got into the songs.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, no. This is about my moral shortcomings as a music consumer.
Yeah. Because for the longest time, our argument was like, he's such a lyricist. He cares so much about his music. It's so good. It's so good. And then eventually I couldn't use that to defend the fact that he was...
Also, Ryan Fest wrote most of those lyrics.
Yeah.
And you can tell the ones that he wrote. You can really tell the ones that Kanye wrote himself. That's why there's a distinct vibe. What was Ryan Fest's last album with him? I think Pablo was when Ryan Fest left the
group. Yeah, it was.
Yeah, you can see the difference there.
You're right, though. The
still my favorite, probably my favorite, definitely my most listened to artist. He's definitely my Desert Island guy.
Yeah, and there's still some certain songs that I'll listen to that get me like pumped up for something.
Yeah.
There's several of them for that. But you are right. The kids do decide what's cool.
Yeah.
And I am not. Yeah. I'm
not saying I like it. No, I find 6-7 infuriating as anybody else.
Right.
But also, like, I was running around with my pants hanging halfway off my butt when I was a kid.
Yeah,
so, like,
very dumb things.
One pant leg up. What was that? All of us in LL Cool J were riding 10 speeds every day? Because that's who wears their pants like that.
When I worked at the Boys and Girls Club, I figured out how to match them on their level with the 6-7 thing. And as soon as I started doing it, all of a sudden, it didn't become cool anymore.
That's how you take the power back, because you ruin it.
Fabulous. I loved ruining things for the kids.
Just take their power away.
Yeah, just take it all away.
Just kill their fun.
Yeah, kill the vibes, man.
Well, I like that you're touching on, because I was just going to say, it's probably revenge for all the dumb things we thought were cool.
and all sure. the dumb things we thought were popular.
For sure. Dude, the fact I've done jokes about this, how fashion has come around to where the kids are dressing like I did in high school.
Yeah.
And the worst part of it is I'm just now seeing how stupid I used to look.
Yes.
I used to work an after school job so I could have an entire wedding dress worth of jeans hanging off my body at the end of the day.
The big baggy jeans.
I was gonna say the baggy clothes.
But absurd. Absurd. Every adult who yelled at me in the 90s was correct about the way I looked. About the way I looked. They were very racist, but they were right about the way I looked. Went to high school in North Carolina. It's about the way I looked, though.
Yes, yeah. I was surprised. I saw a kid walking around in, like, the big tongue skate shoes. I didn't even think they made those anymore.
Yeah.
Like, the Airwalks and DCs. And I knew the skate company still existed, but I thought they had moved on to something a little more athletic. But apparently they still make the big giant tongue skate shoes for people. I don't know who for.
Yeah, the chunky style came back. Yeah. Everything's back.
Yeah.
It all rotates.
The funny thing was, is I never understood how anybody skated on those big block shoes.
I did. Never been able to ride a skateboard in my life. So,
Me neither.
When I first moved to Germany, I lied to fit in with these kids who were being cool to me and said I skated, so they let me borrow a board and we skated like miles the next day.
Oh.
Did the whole thing on my knee, scooting on the ground.
Don't look at me.
How long did you live in Germany?
Two stints. One when I was a little kid, for 3 years in Munich. That was, I think, ages 2 through 5, and then 10 through 13.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting.
In Bremerhaven.
Okay.
Yeah, I wish. My dad was in the army, so.
Okay.
Germany twice. Lived in Okinawa, Japan, right after high school, and I never showed either of those places the proper appreciation I wish I should have absorb the culture and all the cool things that they were.
Was it a big
culture? Young.
I just wanted to eat their version of McDonald's and play video games.
Right.
Yeah.
Was it a big culture shock? Was it?
Well, I mean, you're on a base most of the time, so yeah, that's the thing. It's like you can go through not absorbing any of the culture. Although there's one thing, at the public park, there's this really dope water slide. Germany has crazy public parks.
Okay.
German playgrounds were like these massive, giant architectural structures, like so cool, like gigantic. It's shocking that there's just not just broken bodies littered throughout every German park.
Well, they had to replace the Nazi monuments with something.
There we go.
Put something there. Thankfully, it's something that made them forget.
Now it's a jungle gym. Is this better?
Yeah.
All right,
timestamp.
Producer checks time.
We've got
noted.
A water slide now.
But so, Europe in general is they're more free with their bodies, and German kids use this technique going down the water slide where you just drop trowel, the little precursor to my sagging once I got back to the States in the early 90s. You just drop trowel, slide down on your butt. You go so much faster. And that was normal to me. My first water slide experience was that, watching people do that and doing that myself. And I came back to the States, pulled my butt out of the water park.
Oh,
and everyone's
no.
looking at me like, what are you doing?
This guy's going to poop at the water park.
That wasn't in this day and age. That would have been a felony.
Luckily, I was a child back then. Weird sentence to say. Luckily, I was a naked child in a public place. R.I.P. though?
Timestamp.
This is a big. That's gonna become a T-shirt. The only merch the show has is stuff dunking on me.
Rex's world is not a friendly one.
As I'm saying, it's Rex's world. We are just living in it. And that's.
It could be worse things that happen though. I think you guys are pretty lucky. So speaking of chaos and craziness and stuff, you've hosted several open mics and stuff, correct? In your time.
Yeah.
I like to ask a lot of the guests on here, do you have a crazy open mic story, whether it's you participating or you hosting, like, and having to like deal with somebody that was like, you don't have to give names or nothing either.
I mean, you were at Healing when I started doing the mic cut dance.
Oh, yes.
So basically, anytime someone runs the light at Helium, you get your mic cut eventually. And from what you see from the stage, you're just telling jokes. What you don't see happening in the back of the room, there's a whole ceremony while you're getting counted down. I'm taking my shirt off. I'm acting like I'm sharpening up the blade that is my hand. Like there's going back with the chop. It's a big deal. It's a big fun time when you get your mic cut. My favorite mic cut, I think, was a dude who went by Sasquatch.
Oh.
Yeah. And he got on the mic. Fine. Perfectly acceptable comedy, not especially problematic, just weird and not good. Mm-hmm. And he goes over his time. So the way it works is when you go over your time too much, they'll cut your mic. And if you can't figure it out by then, they'll drop the lights. And if you can't figure it out by then, they'll play music.
Yep.
And he got all three. It was my first time seeing that. And my favorite part of it is when the mic got cut, he yells to the booth. He's like, I didn't get to the punchline yet. Like, it's like,
let me finish. Chill faster, man.
You guys cut my mic off too soon.
That's what happens when you pontificate too much during the joke.
I'm not done taking up all of everyone else's time. You guys. And
I want to rob more time.
I haven't seen this one, and it hurts my heart that I wasn't there. But one guy, because when they cut the lights, they lower them slowly. And apparently as the lights started lowering, one guy started going down to the ground like he could get under the darkness. I'm so upset to this day that I wasn't there to witness that.
He's playing limbo.
Usually when you see a stage name on the open mic list, it's going to be pretty fun.
Yeah, like, I agree.
I do it masochistically. When I can't make it to the Helium mic, I'll check the list. Just be like, please don't let there be any stage names. I don't want to miss out on any freak shows.
Right, right.
One time a lady dragged a harp up the stairs.
I remember that one.
Yeah. Here's the thing about comics. We're all dirtbags. We love to not just watch people fail. Like if you're just trying to tell jokes and you just aren't good, then you know, that's whatever. But if you are like doing something crazy, if you're problematic in a certain way, you're like racist, sexist, or homophobic, oh, it's delicious watching you fail. It's so delicious. Oh, yeah, if you say something like really messed up and the crowd goes dead, you're gonna hear my one single clap. that's my one clap for you messed up. If I'm the only laugh in the room, it's not because you're funny. It's because I'm a monster and you're really messing up bad right now. And also it's like just something crazy. You bring a puppet, yeah, I want to watch that. But we watched this lady drag a whole harp up the stairs, and we were so hyped. And like all the comics, usually we mill about and waiting for our turn. We were all just in there, front and center. And then something occurred to me, and I said it out loud as I was thinking. I was like, if this is legitimately funny, I'm going to be furious.
Oh, yeah. She killed it. Oh, my God. I remember her dragging that thing up and like just being the type of employee I am. I'm like, should I help her? Should I grab it? And then I realized it was for an act, and I'm like, I hope she doesn't make it up the stairs. I'm gonna let her struggle.
So I guess the question is, how bad was it?
It was thankfully bad. Thankfully bad, because once I realized that, I was like, oh, this is just dope. If she's just the new best comic in town, I had a similar experience with a friend, Gabe Dinger. I used to really hate his haircut when I first started comedy.
Yeah,
he had the stupid messy hair thing, and I saw his hair. I saw him get on stage for the first time I ever saw him, and I was like, oh, I hate this hair. Then he started telling jokes and he was brilliant. I was like, oh, I got to respect this dude now.
Speaking of respect, we got to respect our commercial breaks. KXRW Vancouver 99.9 FM. Rex's World, we will be right back.
You already know. Yeah. It's that hustler music. Young music. I got that hustler music. Man. So ride to it. And vibe to it.
KXRW programming like this is made possible with the support of The Columbian. I'm Will Campbell, and since 1920, my family has owned and operated The Columbian and ensured its award-winning news coverage. For the most thorough daily coverage of local news, national news, and local sports, both in print and online, and for subscription information, visit columbian.com. That's C-O-L-U-M-B-I-A-N.com.
KXRW programming is made possible by partners like Buckley & Associates, attorneys at law, helping injured victims seek the justice they deserve for over 40 years. Licensed in Washington State, our diverse team speaks over 7 languages, making your rights more accessible and easier to understand. Learn more at buckleylaw.net. Buckley & Associates, we speak your language.
우리는 여러분의 언어를 구사합니다.
我们说你的 语言.
Nosotros hablamos tu idioma.
중도의 nói ngôn ngữ của bạn.
Support for KXRW comes from Kindred Vancouver in downtown Vancouver, Washington. Kindred is a community-focused general store offering bulk refillery options and supplies for sustainable, do-it-yourself living. With a focus on reducing waste and supporting clean, mindful lifestyles, Kindred helps individuals incorporate low-impact choices into daily life. More information is at kindredvancouver.com.
If you're looking for pizza in East Vancouver, consider visiting Giuliano's Pizzeria in the Cascade Park Fisher's Landing neighborhood. For 37 years, Giuliano's has been a choice for Clark County residents. Giuliano's has a casual classic rock atmosphere, open 7 days a week, and they provide table service allowing you to relax and enjoy your meal with family and friends. If you have a large crowd to feed, Giuliano's can deliver 6 or more extra large pizzas to your office or event. More information can be found at giulianospizza.com.
Tonight, I know my vibe is tight, and I deserve the throne, and if the kid ain't right, then let me...
Welcome back to Rex's World. Thank you for joining us. We're here with Ryan Black and our guest, Adam Posse. How you doing, guys?
Hey, I'm doing great. Fabulous. Doing good?
Yeah, we're having a lot of fun. This show has been...
I'm on my second tiny bottle of water. I'm getting faded, y'all.
Dude, we gotta fuel the beast, you know what I mean? Feed the beast. This has been one of the more fun shows, I gotta say. Yeah, absolutely.
Me versus the Dirt Box Boys. Is that what they're going by?
Yeah, that is what they are going by. That's what they choose to be called.
Hard disapprove, gentlemen. Oh. Not a fan of the name. Gonna need some explanation. Gonna need some explanation on that one to warm up to it. I do love those guys. I do love all three of those guys. I really adore them. They're like total sweethearts and like really hard workers at comedy, and it's been fun watching them
and we've
rise
had all...
up. You see that? See that little give and take there?
Yeah,
That was genuine. They're sweet, they're wonderful, they're talented, they're really bad at picking names for podcasts.
And we've had more than just the Dirtbox Boys, like just to make this podcast sound a little bit better. we've had James Hartenfeld on, we've had Colin Maddox on, we've had Ryan's been a guest.
Have you ever had any, am I your first non-white male from what I'm hearing?
Oh my God. Maybe. Jono
I'm not thinking about this really hard.
I'm
right
not
now.
Confirming or denying that. I'm just gonna.
I mean, Franco is secretly Mexican, but like.
Well, but he was supposed to come on and didn't show up.
And bailed. Yeah.
Oh, so... you know what? He heard about y'all's policy. That's what happened.
He wanted to go watch the Blazers game because he told me he was busy, and then I saw on his story him posting at the Blazers game. we've had a lot of fun here. You have hosted some really great things, but there was one I wanted to bring up just because the difference that it had to make, because I know even for us working at the club and having to prep for a show either during or post pandemic, the room looks completely different. It's filled out differently. Bringing in even just like bringing in the guests and stuff is done completely different. What was it like having to do, whether it was a headliner show or even the Portland's Funniest competition during that time?
The competition was weird because we had to use 2 separate mics for the host and for the comics.
That's right.
So there was like this extra step of me running. So they had 2 mics, one that we get cleaned during the comic on stages set, mm-hmm. preparing for the next comic. Mm-hmm. And so I have my own mic. I'm hosting with this mic. I bring the comic up. They use the mic to do their set. They get off the stage. I come out with my host mic, which is a wireless mic. I take their wired mic. I set it off to the side. I get the spare wired mic that's now clean. I bring it back.
Oh, yeah.
The whole time I'm talking and distracting. Yeah, it was definitely, it added another ball to the juggling that goes on with hosting the contest.
Yeah, it extended your set a little bit, wouldn't it?
yeah. Yeah, it added like 12 seconds of time to every single person I was bringing up. Yeah, it was awkward. Not a fan of it at all.
Were you able to turn it into a bit ever?
I just kind of like, ha
look at me.
This is fine. Yeah, just kind of yell my way through it. Keep trying to get some fake energy pumped into the room while I'm basically... Everyone stop while I shuffle around this stage every single time. Every single time I bring a comic up. Let's all just kill the momentum that was placed in the room.
Yeah.
Well, I didn't even think about how that would actually impact the momentum of the show.
That might be why, because the year after that, so I hosted all the one fresh out of quarantine, because
mm-hmm.
I won just before quarantine.
Two-time winner.
I'm the only two-time champ. I'm the only one that held the title for 2 years in a row.
Two straight years.
And it doesn't matter that it's during quarantine. I still count it with the asterisk. Oh,
and trust me, people came for the champ and still lost.
I'm the so FDR let's just... PFP. Most terms served, and I don't walk much. What's up?
There you go. Hold that belt loud and proud.
And I think maybe having to not do all that chaotic stuff the next year, I started this tradition where we roast everyone in the competition.
Good.
The night of the competition. That might be from the boredom of being used to doing all that scrambling and to the show just being normal. And I'm like, well, got a little free time on my hands. Let's write some mean jokes about these people trying hard to win a prize.
He took 12 seconds and made his own show out.
But that tradition has sustained for the most part. Every year since 2022, we still do it in the first round. I used to do it all through the comp, but then it only really makes sense in the first round.
I like that because it also kind of, because you get a lot of new comedians or people that think they're funny and want to sign up and try it out. It's a good way for them to see if they really want to do this or not.
I was worried about it at first because it seems very mean. Because, like I said, I have little parameters. It's basically surface roast. You look like this. Your voice sounds like this. Call a lot of white guys with mustaches sex offenders. It's a real heavy go-to. It just fits. It's very easy. Look, I'm writing at least 12 jokes a show. if I can get a freebie on you, if you look weird, you're gonna get that. All right, that's just where that's where that goes.
Roasts are fun,
but it actually adds a lot of levity because it's a high pressure situation for the comics. You know, people take it different levels of serious during the whole competition. Yeah. In reality, like outside of it, big picture, it's just a regional competition, and the reality of that competition is, it's just to put butts in the seats during the summer, which is a light time of year.
Yeah. Yeah.
But like if you let it be fun, it's really fun.
Right. And if you do well enough, like you don't even necessarily have to win the competition, but you can walk out of there with some good tape.
Yeah. That's probably the main part. Only three people's names are going to get called at the end of the whole thing.
Right.
The tape is the most important part of the competition. That'll get you opportunities in comedy outside of this, again, regional competition. But the roast, because people are putting a lot of pressure on themselves,
mm-hmm.
it did kind of lighten the mood, which was I was hoping that was the effect, because the other one is like, oh, this guy's a jerk. This dude's just a bully.
Some guy's so anxious and nervous, you're just over there roasting him.
Yeah, but certain parameters I follow. Well, the main thing is I don't make fun of the material, because your material is already being judged that night.
Okay. Yeah.
In fact, they started doing roast battles in town. And when I judge those into a mic, then I'll make fun of your material. And I saw people be real shocked that I was going at them like that. I was like, oh, this ain't the competition. It's all fair game now. I can hurt you for real in this. That's the agreement we all made.
You've done some roast battles, haven't you?
I think it's the same. It's Cam Strong's roast show, right?
You've been on that one?
I've been on it a couple of times.
Caleb, at a birthday party show of his, his birthday roast hit me with one of the better roast jokes I heard about myself that year. You said my friend Julia Corral. I'm a 5'10 big burly hairy Samoan. My friend Julia Corral is a very short Mexican woman with big glasses. And he said, when we hang out, we look like Monsters Inc. And like that was. I still use that when I follow Julia on stage.
Yes, yes.
It was so brilliant. And we're looking at. And for us, it hurt our feelings so bad because we're looking, because Caleb's not a comic. No, I mean, he's a performer.
Yeah.
But like with our little snob selves, we weren't acknowledging that. We're like from the mouths of babes. We got destroyed by a non-comedian.
I've often told Caleb he would be a fabulous comic, though.
I've been told I'm funny, but the process of being funny on purpose seems impossible to me.
There's a lot of cross DNA with pro wrestling and comedy.
It can be. Yeah.
I think pro wrestling's exponentially harder. I remember I was at an indie show. I wish I could remember the names of the wrestlers that I was watching, but it kind of furthers my point that I'm about to make. I was just watching these dudes as an armory in Troutdale, watching this indie wrestling show. Really fun show. And I'm watching these two guys do, like, brilliant, clean chain wrestling. Like, nasty sequences. Like, it's just perfect.
Right.
Absolutely perfect. They're getting nothing from the crowd. Yeah. And I'm watching this, and I'm thinking, like, well, at least when I bomb, I can walk the same afterwards.
Independent shows around this area in particular are really weird because everybody kind of has their own following. And so I feel like it's exponentially harder to get a overall reaction from the crowd because everybody is there more to see people than they are there to take in the show, if that makes sense.
I get that, yeah.
Yeah.
No, that's something comedians can have in common with wrestling.
100%.
I felt that on Tuesday night at Helium Comedy.
Yeah, I was touching last week on some of the same things. I mean, like, there's so many parallels between comedy and pro wrestling and independent wrestling amongst itself. It's very fascinating when you look at all the parallels.
Mystery Wrestling, which is a fun show if you guys haven't checked that out on Instagram. A lot of their stuff is on Instagram. It's Mystery Wrestling. It's a lot of comedy stuff. They'll, like, have, like, a guy dressed as Sasquatch come out during a battle royal. They'll do they did, like, a miniature weapons match, and it was, like, miniature-sized weapons. Yeah, 100%.
That sounds great.
I'm all in for that one.
And Evil Uno is on commentary the entire time, and they're just, like, cracking jokes as well as doing commentary. And
that sounds wonderful.
It's all comedy based, but they've been able to mix it both together in this perfect way. It's another shout out to how well comedy and wrestling go together. But it's a fun show to see too, because there's a lot of local people here that are getting on that show. Do you know Amira?
I know who she is. I saw her wrestle a couple years ago at AEW.
Yes, she's
and everyone been on in AEW. The crowd knew who she was.
She's been on AEW. She's been on Raw, I believe. But she's a regular. She's been on Mystery Wrestling a couple of times now, and getting to see them or the Hammer Bros. Do you know who the Hammer Bros are?
I haven't kept up with indie wrestling. I want to, but we work the same nights.
Yes, that's mm-hmm. the hard part.
Me and them, almost any local artist.
I had to miss.
Kind of sucks.
I had to miss a lot of wrestling shows. To wrestle at because I was working at Helium and just had to be there. But the Hammer Bros are somebody I think you'd like because they're a gimmick tag team. They're construction workers.
Love it.
Sledge and Jack.
Love that.
Sledgehammer and Jack Hammer.
Yeah, yep. Yeah, yeah.
And they're one's like a really fit, like ripped dude with the mustache, and the other one is a ginormous like big overweight dude,
kind of like a heavy machinery type.
Yeah, yes exactly. But this guy looks like he came off of a construction site, and they do a move called the steamroller where they get everybody, they lay their opponent on the mat, they get everybody excited.
I'm pointing at my girlfriend because her brother used to do something like this when she was a kid. And maybe, can I say it? yeah it's just like she's trying to sleep in her blanket, he just goes over it.
It's basically what it is. The muscular.
And then when she's trying to sleep next to me, I've been accused of trying to do that on accident.
The muscular hammer holds him down, and then the big guy starts in one corner and starts just rolling towards his opponent.
I love
and
that.
All completely over their body, completely. I think there's a highlight on Mystery Wrestling's Instagram.
Oh, that's wonderful. I'm going to look that up.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So you get to watch him come the whole way.
Yes, they wait for him to roll.
And the guy's freaking out. He's like,
they're like backing him in. Like, bring it on in.
Sight unseen, Hammer Brothers, you're one of my new favorite tag teams.
Yes, the Hammer Bros are
on
awesome.
Principle alone. The names, the finisher, I'm with it. I'm absolutely with it.
Yeah, after the show, I'm going to have to pull them up.
I'm generally on the side of any fat guy who's wrestling.
Yeah.
Especially if he performs well, too, because he can move, man.
Yeah, because then I get to sit there and be fat in my chair like, yeah, we can all do that.
Yeah, we can do that, yeah. Yeah, if I trained for a couple months, I'd be that agile.
Oh, he's like a for real chonko.
He looks like he came straight off of the construction site.
Yeah!
They're yelling it out, Steve Rowland.
Is this compelling radio listening to me watching wrestling?
Yeah.
We might be birthing a whole new show here.
I've reached out to the Hammer Bros to try to get them on the show. I got to get them to read the message first.
Are they local?
Yes, but they're very popular. So they wrestle all over. This is them at Mystery Wrestling right here. You got to love those gimmick. The really gimmicky gimmicks, like the I'm from the insane asylum, or I'm a construction worker, or I'm a cowboy.
Yeah, I like it all wrestling wise. I like the real serious stuff. Yes. I like the really silly stuff. Like, yeah, everything, full spectrum, everything it has to offer, I think, is valuable. And it makes for, when it's balanced within one single wrestling show, makes for a great varietal wrestling show.
So being that, liking gimmick wrestlers, do you like gimmick comics?
Depends.
Okay.
Depends. A lot of it's me just getting over my own snobbery to appreciate it. Coming up in Portland when I did there, I do have a taste for like altier comedy.
Right.
Because like I'm more straightforward with my stuff, so there's more mystery to it when I'm consuming it. Like I don't know how like someone like a Phil Schaubert got where they went. Whereas if I'm watching like I don't know, like Bill Burr, yes, he's brilliant. But like there is math to it. That's how I see it. It's like science versus a magic trick. Watching Bill Burr crush it is like science, like high level science. And then watching someone do like a weird alti type character type thing really well, that's a magic trick. I have no idea how you got my card.
Like, yeah. Bill Burr, he's so funny.
Oh man. But like,
bad at magic though, in your face, Burr. What's up? Coming at you for your magic skills or lack thereof.
But where do you draw the line with gimmicks?
It just has to work. It has to be funny. I have to like it.
Okay, okay.
Yeah, I really get into gimmick stuff, but it has to be good.
Has to be good.
And if it's bad, that's the thing. If it's bad, though, ooh, like kind of like I said earlier, I'll turn on you so quick. I'll turn on you. Oh, this fake non-comedy garbage. Like,
oh, my goodness.
Are you pedo indeed?
So, your friend may be hard to find, but you are easy to find. And I suggest everybody listening right now, go and find Adam Posse. Where can they find you, boss?
You can find out about my upcoming shows at ADMPASI on my Instagram. Also, follow at Topic Thunder PDX on Instagram. Follow both. Like, share, and subscribe.
Absolutely. You guys need to follow both of those pages because if you've enjoyed this show, you're going to enjoy all the jokes that Adam has, all the jokes that Topic Thunder has. I really suggest going to Instagram and finding these guys right away and get a part of this community. Adam, it's been great to have you. I really appreciate you coming on. I think this has been the most amount of time where I haven't laughed yet because this show has been hilarious and amazing, and that's all thanks to you. I really appreciate that.
Thanks, buddy. Thanks for having me. And everyone, support fat pro wrestlers.
And with that, shout out to Ryan Black, my co-host.
Gotta love the love for the fat pro wrestlers.
And of course, producer Jono, who is very beautiful, very
gorgeous,
handsome.
Gorgeous, Jono.
And is always, always putting together perfect shows.
And the mastermind that has to edit this.
Shout out to Jono. Shout out to everybody listening. Thank you for listening to Rex's World. It may be called Rex's World, but the world is yours. Listen in every Thursday, KXRW, Independent Radio Vancouver, 99.9 FM.
I sip the dumb peep, watching Gandhi till I'm charged and writing in my book of rhymes. All the words past the margin, the whole of mic I'm throbbing. Mechanical movement, understandable smooth issue that murderers move.